Now, to introduce that, let us go back and look at the text that was read. We preached this morning about that parable of Jesus, about the tares, about the weeds that have been planted in this world by Satan. That's keeping individuals sometimes from seeing what the wheat even looks like because it's growing up among all of the tares, the weeds that there are in Christendom in America, so that you can believe anything you want to believe and find a church that will let you believe it. In the name of Jesus, it's possible to believe anything you want to and practice it and still be a Christian. How's that for a commentary on what's happened in our land? And the religious groups are struggling tremendously over the matter of things like transgenders and their place in the kingdom of God and how to interface and how to deal with that situation. And denominations are splitting. They're dividing right down the middle as the more conservative elements in those denominations are pulling away from state organizations. I read this morning again about the update that we've talked about, the Methodist Church here in Florida trying to pull away at least the conservative element because of all that's happened in Methodism. And this is not to pick on the Methodists. It's just an illustration of the kind of thing that's happened. And those who were conservative filed a lawsuit just to allow them legally to pull away from the state organization. I think there were some 71 Methodist churches up in the Carolinas. There was another group there that did a similar thing. Some 36 Methodist churches in the Carolinas said, we do not want to go where Methodism is going in relationship to that. But in order to do it, they filed a lawsuit to try to get the right to pull away from Methodism. I find that just a truly remarkable thing. But it's a commentary. And so let me just ask you this. Why is it that these kinds of things are happening? Is it because people are not hearing what Jesus said? Let me introduce this lesson by coming back to what we talked about this morning about what a parable is. You know what a parable is. It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And this morning we looked at the parable of the tares and we put two different verses on the screen, not at the same time, but one following the other, where the parable is taught. There's a field and there's a man sowing seed and there is that seed that is sown and there's the weeds and there's the good seed and there's the harvest. And then we let Jesus explain that parable. They came to him and asked him to explain that parable. The other parable in Matthew 13 that is explained is the parable of the sower, the man who went out and sowed seed. And the disciples came and asked him to explain that parable. There are 8 parables in Matthew 13. Only 2 of them are explained. And Mark says, and if you do not understand the parable of the sower, how will you be able to understand any of the parables? You see, there are those 2 parables that explain that allows us to look at an earthly story and see the meaning of it. But are you aware there are people who do not see that? If you'd heard Jesus talk about the parable of the sower, the man that went out and that sowed the seed and it fell on 4 different kinds of soil, and you went away and they said, well, what Jesus talked today? Well, he gave an agricultural lesson on how to plant seed. That's all they would have seen in that story. But those who heard Jesus, particularly the disciples, came to Jesus and said, Jesus, explain the parables to us. When he told the one about the enemy that came in, the devil that came into that field where Jesus had planted the good seed and planted weeds inside that field, that one's explained to help us understand these matters. And so we get to the location of the text, and that's Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 through 12. The disciples came and said to him, why are you speaking in parables? And you hear his answer, it sounds almost contradictory. He says, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Not that they're mysteries so nobody could ever be able to understand it, but a mystery is something that just might be able to be solved. No, it is something that once you the revelation is given, it's so easy to understand it. And so Jesus said to the apostles, explain this mystery. You've taught this parable, explain this mystery. And Jesus says, it's been given unto you to be able to understand it. But then he says, but to them, those others who heard it, it has not been given. What's the difference? You may think that there was some supernatural aspect of the hearing of those disciples that others did not have. That's not the whole point. When the parable was given, they came to Jesus and they said, explain the parable to us. And because they were willing to come to Jesus and let God explain the mystery, it was given unto them because they went to the right source. And that is, they went to Jesus. What about all the others that heard this parable? If they did not come to Jesus or perhaps at a later time heard as Matthew wrote these words and Mark and Luke wrote these words to explain this, they would never ever have understood it. Why? Because they were trying to use human wisdom to figure out things that are so easily seen in an earthly story, but it's only seen to those who are listening, who go to the right source. And so he says to those disciples, if you'll learn how to understand this parable, to him that has that ability, the ability to understand, more will be given. But to that individual who does not have this attitude that you disciples have of coming and asking me to explain this, not only will they not understand it, they will forget and lose the ability to understand the rest of it. Look at verse 12. Whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance, but whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away. That's the text. I want you to look at the verses that follow in that. We've looked at verses 10 through 12. Let's look at the rest of this text. Jesus said to them, that's why I speak in parables, because seeing they will not see, and hearing they will not hear. That's why the title of this lesson is, How's Your Hearing? They will read the words of God, they will hear the words of God spoken, and they won't be able to see what the meaning is. They will not be able to hear the very message. Why? Because they're not willing to come to the right source and to spend the time and energy that it is necessary for them to have. And Jesus says, verse 13, that's why I speak in parables. And then he says, and this fulfilled the words of God in the Old Testament. These words from Isaiah are quoted not only by Jesus here or in this place, they're quoted by Paul and in two places. These very words found in the book of Isaiah are spoken and applied to people in the first century world who heard the apostles preach, who heard Jesus preach, and they did not understand those things. What happened? Well, here's the prophecy. In them is the prophecy of Isaiah fulfilled. That's in verse 14, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see but not perceive, because the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their eyes ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Why? Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. They didn't want to turn. They didn't want to come to Jesus. They did not want any part of Jesus. And Jesus says, you know what happened? They have closed their eyes. Who did it? They themselves said, I'm not going to see what Jesus said. I'm not going to hear what Jesus spoke. And the decision that kept them from understanding is not because it was not understandable, but because they made up their own mind. I cannot think about this except thinking about a story I heard many, many years ago of a man whose barn was filled with huge rats. I mean, massively huge rats were in there eating all of his grain and everything that was in the barn. He called the exterminator. And the exterminator came out and said, well, I looked down the barn and I didn't see anything. You see, the exterminator didn't want to do the work. I just can't see what's going on. And the farmer said, surely you've seen. Said, you go to the other side of the barn and I'll go to the front door, to the front gate, and I'll make all of the noise I can, and you'll see multitudes of rats running out the back side of the barn. So he made all of that noise, and the exterminator said, don't see a thing, don't see a thing. And the farmer went around, and the exterminator, because he didn't want to spend any money, had his eyes totally closed so he would not be able to see. People do that to the Word of God. Think of people that you know. People that you know, they know better. They understand the Word of God better, and yet they choose in their own heart to be rebellious against that which God said. They will not hear Jesus. How's your hearing? And Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. Assuredly I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see the things which you are now seeing, but they did not see them, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear them. How blessed we are to live in that New Testament age where we understand things that Isaiah did not understand, that David did not understand, that Abraham did not understand. Prophets and righteous men and kings were trying to figure out the very things that you and I readily understand. Why? Because we're hearing and because our eyesight is good. I want to go into a different direction now, having given that more as an introductory, to remind you of the promises that God has made. And He's made it to us. And He's made it to all mankind. And so when I say, how's your hearing? I want you to understand that Jesus has already said, I will give you good eyesight and I will give you good hearing. Hear these words from Jeremiah. You shall find me, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. God said that. And God cannot lie. Do you want to find out if there's a God? You want to find out if Jesus is the Son of God? The Creator of the world has made a promise to every person on this earth. When you seek for me, you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. You know what that means? Spiritually, you will have good eyesight. And spiritually, you will have good ears to hear. What's your hearing like? That's not all that is said. And I've only selected 3 verses, and I could have put 30 verses here. But I want you to feel the force of God who cannot lie, says, if you'll search for me with all of your heart, I promise you that you'll find it. Let's look at another promise. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are they who hunger for righteousness. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Son of God, the sinless Son of God, says, here it is. If you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, God Himself has made a promise that you will be fulfilled. I think about a man in the Bible where God was in the background, and in the background is the story that helps us to see not what the man who is the central part of this story, not what he saw, but things that you will understand. In the book of Acts, there is a man in a chariot riding from Jerusalem all the way back to Ethiopia. He's got a 1,000-mile journey to make in a chariot. He's reading the Bible. He's reading the book of Isaiah. You know the passage, led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And he's trying to find out what this means. I'm reading the Bible, and honestly, I don't understand what I'm reading. He doesn't know what's happened in the background. It's only by revelation that we know what's happening in the background. Become that man riding in the chariot, and he perhaps knows the words of Isaiah, when you search for me with all of your heart, you will find me. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's reading the Bible, and he said, I cannot understand this. And a man walks up and says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, no. Highly intelligent man, a man of Ethiopia, but obviously reading the scriptures. And he understands the words of the scriptures, but he cannot figure out, is this man talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? He's figured out that it's not literally a lamb, that it's not literally a sheep. It is a person. Of whom does this verse speak? Is it talking about himself, a person, or is it talking about some other person? And a man who understood the truth got in that chariot and explained to him the Word of God. You know why he found the truth? Because God, who cannot lie, made a promise, if you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, I will see that you are fulfilled. When I preach, there's no way for me to know the answer to the question. But it is possible, is it possible, that in the providence of God, in this sermon or in other sermons, any sermons that I preach, is it possible that God in the background has brought you into this very building, this very night, to hear this very lesson because you're trying to find God? And young people especially, I urge you to seek God. Don't you believe in God because your mamas and daddies told you about it. It's got to be your faith But you've got to seek. You've got to make it not an inherited down of that of faith that comes from your parent. It is your own research. It's your own decision. I know there is a God because I know Jesus is the Son of God. The evidence is so overwhelming. Can I show you one other promise from God who cannot lie? That is from John 7:17. If anyone, is that universal? Does that include everybody on this earth? If anyone wills to do his will, if any man is trying to seek the will of God, and if he's longing to seek the will of God, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak of myself. God has spoken. How is your hearing? I want you to hear some words under the heading, Using Your Ears. I find this interesting. Mickey said, what are you preaching about tonight? And Mickey's signing for Maxine. And Mickey sent back and said, you're going to preach about how is your hearing when the deaf cannot hear, but the deaf do hear. Maxine, I saw you singing tonight. And the facial expression that you had thrilled my soul, because you could read these words and they were your words. Maxine, let me tell you something, and I don't have your permission to tell this, but it is so wonderful and so encouraging, I want to tell it. 2 weeks ago, when I preached the longest sermon I've ever preached on the shortest chapter in the Bible, first time I'd ever preached on it, I talked about the word praise and the word Lord, L-A-U-D. And that means to do it with exuberance. And so at the singing of the next song, Maxine says to the signer, let's go, I'm ready to sing. And they said her signs were just as exuberant as they could be. She heard every word that I said, and she responded to the words. How's your hearing? Listen to Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 11:15. Hear the words of Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:9. Hear the words of Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear the words of Jesus. Mark 4:9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:23. Hear the words of Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 7:16. Hear the words of Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the book of Luke, Luke 8:8, hear the words of Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Luke 14:35, hear the words of Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And it's that ability to open up the book, to sit in a Bible class, to sit in our homes and read the Bible and listen to the voice of God. If you desire it, the mysteries of the kingdom will be given to you. But if you choose to close your eyes and stop your ears, it's your choice. But it is in opposition to the plan of God, for it is the plan of God that the gospel be preached. Faith comes by hearing, and great faith comes by hearing even more. I want you to hear the final words of Jesus. Seven times in the book of Revelation, the Son of God says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit says." Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Hear the words of Jesus. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 29. Jesus says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." Revelation chapter 3 and verse 6. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Revelation chapter 3, verse 13. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Revelation chapter 3, verse 22. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Folks, men are being led astray. Being led astray. Because they think in some mysterious way, they will just call out and the Holy Spirit will reveal to them the will of God. Do you know how you find out what the Spirit's will is for you? He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says, and the rest of those seven verses to the churches. Every word in the book of Revelation, every word of the Bible are words given by the Holy Spirit of God, and that is the way God's Spirit speaks to you. The danger of saying, "I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the will to me," you may not know if it is the Holy Spirit or an evil spirit. Bill Boyd, who's a deacon here, lives in Tennessee, and had a friend, a man he met while he was living up there. The man said, he's preaching in a church, and he says, "I don't even decide what I'm going to preach. I wait until the Holy Spirit gives me my sermon. I walk into that pulpit, and the Holy Spirit gives me that sermon." Folks, that's what people do. "Holy Spirit, tell me what you want me to do." Bill's question is, how do you know it is the Holy Spirit? How do you not know that is the thought have given you by the prince of this world? And the man said to Bill, "Oh, I check it by the Bible." And Bill said, "Why don't you go there in the first place?" That is a profound illustration that will keep you from saying, "Holy Spirit, tell me what you want me to do." And your own mind can easily provide the answer you want to hear. He who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear. Seven times. Or was it eight times? 3 in Matthew, 3 in Mark, and 2 in Luke. 8 times Jesus says, "He who has an ear, let him hear." And in the book of Revelation, "He who has an ear," 7 times, "let him hear," by reading the words of the Bible, hear what the Holy Spirit says. How's your hearing? Thank God that God, who cannot lie, has spoken and given me the answers to everything that pertains to life and godliness in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, God has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not from being ignorant of what Jesus said and then calling out to the Spirit to lay it in your heart. Listen to what the Spirit says as you read the book. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." How's your hearing? Are you hearing the words of the Spirit as you read the Word? And are you hearing the words of Jesus? Let's talk about one aspect of this, and then the lesson is yours. Are you hearing what the Holy Spirit says about eternal salvation? How's your hearing? You need to understand that for one to be saved, one must hear about Jesus. And Acts chapter 2, verse 36 describes that faith using these words: to know assuredly that Jesus lived. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Jesus is Jehovah and the Messiah. That's belief. And the Holy Spirit says to those who had crucified Jesus and were saying, "What shall we do?" He who has ears to hear the Holy Spirit as it says, repent. He who has ears to hear, let him hear that confession that was made that by that man that wanted to be baptized, and with his lips he confessed that he believed Jesus was the Son of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. He who has ears to hear, let him hear the words given by the Holy Spirit about baptism. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. How's your hearing in relationship to this topic and in relationship to all of the topics that the Bible discusses concerning your spiritual life? This church wants to go to heaven, and we want to take you to heaven with us. Not because of our words, not because some men have sat down and figured it all out, but because the Word of God is so simple and plain that if I will to do His will, I can read the Bible and find out what He wants me to do. Because His Word is so plain that if I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness, He will see to it that I am fulfilled. And His words are so plain that if any man wills to do His will, he shall know of the doctrine. How's your hearing? Do you hear the call of Jesus that says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden"? And if this very night you want to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, hear the words of Jesus and come forward, and this very night you can be immersed, buried in water into Christ. Not in the world, into Christ. And you leave all of that old life behind. Listen to the words of God. How's your hearing? And if you need to respond to the invitation, won't you do so right now by coming to the front as together we stand and sing? Will you come?